listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare, married or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or you're just simply interested in how God is working through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're glad you're here. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Andy Oishi and Dr. Lori Tam. They are a husband and wife team who have been serving faithfully in Hawaii and across the Pacific Basin through the International Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Their joy in God's kingdom work through healthcare and teaching, well, it's contagious. And their story, well, it's a powerful testimony of service, as well as marriage, mentorship, and ministry. But their journey, it hasn't been without hardship and redirection. After Andy, with Lori's help, published a courageous editorial affirming the sanctity of life, he was unexpectedly informed that his university contract, it would be ending early. This was followed by an injury and then financial strain. It marked a season of uncertainty, but also one filled with God's providence, unexpected opportunities, and grace. Together, Andy and Lori, a dynamic duo, share how one closed door redirected them to an even more impactful path. Friends, whether you're discerning your next step or seeking inspiration for what bold faith can look like in healthcare, this conversation will encourage and challenge you, I promise. Well, today on CMDA Matters, all the way from Honolulu, Hawaii, I have two very special friends that I had to go halfway around the world to meet just a few months ago. We met just outside of Jakarta, Indonesia, and my guests today are Dr. Andy Oishi and Dr. Lori Tam, one a general surgeon, the other internal medicine doc. And so welcome to CMDA Matters after many months of great anticipation, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. It's our pleasure to be here.
Well, how did the two of you docs who are toward the end of your careers, in fact, Andy, you've recently retired, and Lori, are you retired yet or you're still going strong in patient care?
I'm still working part-time at our medical school.
Okay. And that's the University of Hawaii, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, your alma mater, I think. So how did the two of you meet? Where were you in the career path or training path that you guys got together? And you've now been married how many years? Tell our listeners.
35 years. We just made our 35th anniversary.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. You're 1 year ahead of Pam and myself. So congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. We met in medical school. We were classmates at the University of Hawaii Medical School. And yeah, we were just classmates, and I had just become a Christian 2 years before medical school. And in fact, when I applied to medical school, it was with the thought of becoming a missionary doctor. I didn't really know what that was, but that's what I was praying for. So we met, we were classmates, and soon after I started medical school, I joined CMDA.
When I met Lori, I thought she was extremely attractive, extremely cute, but I wanted nothing to do to her. I wasn't a Christian at the time. And actually, I remember telling people that Lori is a Jesus freak. I don't want to have anything to do with her.
So you weren't knocking on CMDA's door at that time, is my guess.
I was not. I was in my own world, doing my own thing, and really had no interest in Christ. And I met this wonderful woman who was so attractive and who told me that she would not date me unless I became a Christian. And so I began seeking. I began going to church and actually said the sinner's prayer at one point before we started dating.
Wow.
Yes.
So you started your missionary career right there in medical school with classmate, at least one classmate, Lori.
Yes. That was my first and easiest conversion. God used me.
So we tell our students now that even though we are not a good example of that, missionary dating sometimes does work.
Yeah, you betcha. So, you know, fast forwarding, you mentioned students. You guys are campus advisors or faculty advisors there at the University of Hawaii?
Yeah, we have been officially campus advisors, faculty advisors since 2019, but we were really invited and mentored by Dr. Bill and Judy Fong. Bill is the Hawaii State representative for CMDA, and they've served as faculty advisors for like 20 years. I remember them when we were medical students. Mm. So we have partnered with them and they have mentored us. And they are just an amazing couple and amazing role models for us. Wow. So yes, we've been working with them since 2019, and their model of campus ministry is they hold weekly fellowship meetings with a home-cooked meal throughout the school year. And so it's just amazing. And, you know, Bill was working as an OBGYN and Judy is a nurse. So it's been a challenge, but God has been given us a lot of grace.
Wow. Home-cooked meals, that's got to attract like moths to a bright light, you know, for students. For students looking for home.
Yeah, our weekly meetings have maybe 20 to 25 kids that show up on a regular basis for worship time, for devotion, and for fellowship. And it's just been a wonderful time for us to see the kids grow in their faith. And God has been really gracious for us here in Hawaii.
So, Andy, after you came to Christ, did you get involved with Lori at that time with CMDA? Were you both a part of a student group then throughout the rest of medical school, or did that come later?
So let me just jump in. So back when I was a medical student, I mean, we had CMDA, but there wasn't really a student ministry. Mm-hmm. So we would be invited to whatever the community physicians who are part of CMDA, whatever they held, which was usually just dinners. So Andy did join me when we got a lot of free meals at, you know, homes of attendings. It wasn't the student ministry that we have today.
Yeah, it's really come a long way with the leadership of the Fongs, as you mentioned, and yourselves.
Yeah.
So I've known a lot, many, many double doctor married couples in my career, and I've noticed that it's not an easy career path for either of the spouses in the marriage. So how have you guys negotiated the various demands and decisions and compromises that have been placed on each of you by your practices as well as your professional obligations on this path in medicine?
I would say that most of it, I would be thankful to how Lori has handled this. My Christian faith has slowly evolved since that time back in medical school. So it was Lori's faithfulness, her strength in being obedient that has really, I think, led our marriage to flourish. I think maybe the best example I can give of that is that example to submit to your husband. I mean, Lori, in our marriage, Lori's the smart one. Lori is the dedicated one, the one that really should be the leader by all gifts. But she has sort of really decided that, no, she's going to be obedient into Christ in our marriage and let me lead. And so even when there was that vacuum where I wasn't leading, I wasn't as faithful as I could have been, she just stood back and prayed. And eventually God led me to fill that vacuum, to become the leader. And that's been really, for me, an example of a Christian partnership with a husband and wife. And that kind of service to Christ and to me has been probably the biggest factor in our marriage, just thriving for all these years.
Lori, what would you add? I mean, you're practicing now, so obviously you've not had to walk away from medicine, and you're still doing patient care.
We did our residency on the U.S. mainland, that's what we called it, in Minnesota. And when we returned to Hawaii, I joined the medical school and I was in patient care and took call. But as soon as our first child was born, I realized it was not possible for both of us to be on call and have a baby, because I still remember being called and we had a baby in a crib sleeping. And I would tell Andy, I'm going into the hospital. You need to stay home. If someone calls you, you can't leave. We have a baby. And I realized that wasn't workable. So I then changed my career to be really purely medical education. And I had to step away from patient care because of the call, which was fine because I love medical students and I love teaching. So that's really my focus is teaching. And that goes really well with advising and mentoring students. And it goes well with our CMDA student ministry.
Another big, I think, factor in our married life is that we always seem to have been, by the grace of God, putting each other first. And so what she wanted to do was always very important to me, more than what I wanted to do, and vice versa. And somehow we got to do everything we wanted to do together, even though we never thought about ourselves. And that was really a gracious gift from God for our marriage.
Since you've both had some great mentors in this regard, I assume that others flock to you who are maybe in the same boat and trying to negotiate the same challenges in marriage.
It is fun because we share our medical students will ask us, like, how did you meet? How did you date? You know, how did you know when you wanted to get married? And how do you survive all this? So we have talked to them about it. And then individual students have talked to us on the side, not in front of everyone, and talk to us about their dating, boyfriends, girlfriends, getting married. And so that's been fun, just being able to be accessible to them, you know, and just hearing about, you know, marriage is hard. That's why you need Jesus.
Amen. And it's a great team. I think one of the things that Lori and I find that we do well together is we do everything together and we enjoy it. We constantly say to each other, why do we do everything together? We go to the supermarket together. We go on trips together. We just do everything together. And most of our friends know us as Andy and Lori. Andy and Lori. It's always Andy and Lori together. Right. And that's been part of our journey too as well, just being together.
Well, I want to just change the line of our conversation. And how did you first become aware of the international body of which CMDA is probably the largest of those national bodies, but the ICMDA? And how did you get interested in volunteering as physician leaders in the Oceania region? And in specifically, Andy, you shared with me before we got going that you've been named the area representative for Polynesia for ICMDA.
So one day last summer of May of 2024, I received an email. It started with Sherry Falkenheimer, mm-hmm. From CMDA. She had emailed Bill Reichert and Bill Griffin asking them if they knew of someone in Hawaii who could be part of ICMDA for Oceania. Bill Reichert forwarded the email to West Earhart, who is CMDA's Western Regional Director. And West forwarded it to Bill Fong, because he's the Hawaii State Rep, and to me, because I've gotten to know West Earhart and Michael McLaughlin. And Wes asked, would Andy be interested in this since he just retired?
So my role with ICMDA really started with CMDA, and it seemed to have gone through all the layers of CMDA
of course.
Before it got to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I often get asked, Andy and Lori, what's the advantage of having this national ministry? Isn't all the really heavy lifting done on the local level? And what you've just shared is one example that the connections that we have. And for our listeners, Lori's been describing our vice president of campus and community ministries, who's the boss of the Western Region Director, who reaches out to folks like Andy and Lori and makes these connections. And little do you know, I also got one of those early emails from this dentist, Dr. Sheena Lee, and from her boss, Hedwin Hadrianto, Theodorus, who's coming to our national convention shortly, about any way that you could connect us with anybody at Hawaii. And of course, here we are today.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, God works through CMDA and ICMDA. It's been an amazing way of getting connected to people in the United States and people around the world for me and Lori. Yeah.
So then what was the next step? You offered your services. So what does that even mean to be the area representative for Polynesia?
Well, the goal for ICMDA is to have a Christian witness in healthcare throughout every community in every nation across the world. And one of the places that they are trying to reach out to is the whole Oceania region, Polynesia, Micronesia, Melanesia. And it's a daunting task. Polynesia alone is 10 million square miles of 1,000 islands, and trying to connect Christian doctors working in remote areas is difficult. And so they were looking for someone in the Polynesia area who could help to facilitate that. And after talking, I decided that I would love that position, and they decided that they would want to have me. So it's how that partnership got started.
So for one or both of you, did you envision then there's going to be a lot of island hopping, given what you've described the region is like?
We had no idea what it's going to look like. And even in the first few months, we had no idea of what God was leading. But over these past few months, he's starting to put things into place. We have a mission trip planned to the Marshall Islands with a group that we met through CMDA at the Western Regional Conference. We have a mission trip planned for 2026 to the Solomon Islands. I've now been to Papua New Guinea to work. And so God is working things together for us to establish contacts, to be able to meet people where they are in their communities, and to proclaim the name of Christ, and to help ICMDA establish a foothold in these areas.
Lori, your thoughts?
You know, initially, it was very challenging. Like, how are we going to meet doctors and dentists in all of these remote islands? But we realized it's really God is the connector. He sets up, you know, these divine meetings, as Andy was referring to. We met like Dr. Jim Smith, an ENT doctor, I believe he's ENT. Yes. We met him at the Cannon Beach Conference in January, this past January. So that was a connection. And then with Hedwin and Sheena through ICMDA, we could not have set up all of those meetings on our own. So it's just quite amazing.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. We're excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, this new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Are you registered yet for the 2025 CMDA National Convention? We will be gathering just outside St. Louis in St. Charles, Missouri, as we learn about how God is calling us to be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, we are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. Our speakers include Ambassador Sam Brownback, Aaron Hawley from Alliance Defending Freedom, Professor John Wyatt, and more. You don't want to miss this event, so register now at natcon.cmda.org. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
So there's so much synergy. You've already mentioned medical missions. You were just in PNG, Andy, and so how do you envision bringing together your own passion, what God has called you to, and Lori, a long time ago, called you to medical missions, using these ICMDA connections? You've hinted at it a little bit, but what is the vision for you in terms of reaching out, using healthcare as a tool for advancing the gospel?
It is remarkable, just even in these past little short time that I've been with ICMDA, how many physicians we have met across the world. I've already met another physician in an area that needs a doctor there that works with World Medical Mission. So I'm going to his hospital later on this year. And as I said, I just got back from Papua New Guinea, where I met doctors again at the ICMDA conference, and we're just meeting doctors across the world in Sudan, in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, who we just now have connections with, who we are praying with together, who we are on the same page of proclaiming Christ. And so it's just been so exciting. And there are just opportunities galore for us to travel and to work and to just see the gospel be proclaimed to all these places in different cultures and different languages.
I would add in that I think, you know, what I love about ICMDA is it has given us a really bigger vision of God's kingdom, because back in November, when Andy and I accompanied him to the ICMDA summit for field workers,
where we met you for the first time.
Outside of Jakarta, yes. Yeah. And it was fascinating because, you know, we each have gone to our own medical conferences, and typically it's all Americans and maybe a few Canadians, right? When we went to this conference in Indonesia, I believe besides the two of us, there were only two Americans, just you and Sherry. And it was just, I think there were like almost 100 people from 50 countries. And so many of them were from Africa, Eastern Europe. They were from countries that I didn't even know where they were on the map. But to see and hear their stories. And those doctors and dentists were so on fire for Jesus and for spreading the gospel through their medical and dental work. It inspired me and it made me want to do more. And I was like, we need to do more, you know? So I'm so glad that we went to that conference. It just made it really exciting, you know?
Well,
and we can bring that back to Hawaii and to our students here.
Which is very multicultural, of course. Hawaii is a place, Honolulu in particular, I'm sure. But all I got to say, Lori and Andy, is just wait until the World Congress on Jeju Island next year. If you think that Jakarta meeting was incredibly diverse and opened your eyes, wait till you get on Jeju Island with 1,000 people from a gazillion countries. And I'm sure you'll remember the moment in worship there in Jakarta in which the worship team, Lord, I lift your name on high. And they did it in about 6 or 7 different languages. And I was in the back. I'm glad no one saw. I was weeping. I was like, this is Revelation 7:9. It is.
Exactly.
It's a small, but again, the World Congress, for your listeners, you'll have to choose not to celebrate the U.S. I forget, it's the sesquicentennial, what, 250-year birthday. They'll have to choose not to get that because it is over the 4th of July holiday in 2026. Mm-hmm. What was your highlight? I mean, you've already told us just it was an incredible experience, but just being there as a minority and seeing leaders from around the world who love Jesus Christ just as much as any of us do, sometimes in more difficult circumstances, creative access countries. It's one of the reasons I love serving on the board of ICMDA, just these experiences. Any other observations or thoughts from that experience?
I really like their mission, and their mission is to create and to grow local movements in country. So they're not trying to take over the Christian movement of doctors and dentists in, you know, whatever country, in Japan or in France. They're trying to further equip and empower the national movements in each country. And I think that's brilliant. Like, it's very wise and it's collaborative so that we all don't need to start from scratch. So I think it's really brilliant.
I loved meeting people from different cultures who speak different languages, who didn't look like me, who didn't think like me. But when we got together, it was like we were family. And I met them for the first time, and I felt that this is my brother and sister. And that was just a remarkable experience. I loved it. That's one of the reasons I love international work, is seeing God at work around the world in people that you've never met, who are so different from you, yet you have a common thread in your love for Jesus Christ.
Isn't that what's so great about the kingdom of God, that we can be within seconds in unity because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, switching gears, you know, Andy, I learned of you long before we ever met in Jakarta, because our Western Region director that you referred to earlier, Wes Earhart, said, hey, Mike, he sent me an email about 3 years ago and said, you ought to read this editorial by this general surgeon from the University of Hawaii. After Dobbs, I don't know all the details of the story, but your local newspaper put out something apparently from your university on a position against the Supreme Court decision to send abortion back to the states and to overturn Roe v. Wade. And you didn't appreciate what you read in the article. Tell our listeners about what you did.
Hawaii is a very liberal state regarding abortion. And so it's very well accepted. It's part of the law here. And when the Dobbs decision came down, the leadership of our university wrote an article really condemning that decision and how they were in full support of abortion on demand. And shortly after that, they announced proudly that they were funding a program to teach people how to do abortions even further into pregnancy. And they were touting that as one of the great achievements of the medical school. Something rose up in me that I had to speak out. And so shortly after that, I wrote an article saying that I don't agree with the leadership of JABSM, even though I trained here, even though I respect all the people who trained me, even though I respect the leadership here and our community, I just don't agree that abortion is the right thing. And I gave some of the secular reasons for that. And that was an article that was received well by some people, but not received well by much leadership. But it was something that I felt compelled to write. That by Lori, by the way, helped me edit it. So we were able to get it published in our one and only state local newspaper. And it was a great experience for us.
So let me just tell you the title of the letter. So it was a letter to the editor. Well, number one, we were surprised that our newspaper, which is our Hawaii state newspaper, is liberal, that they even published letter.
Yes.
The title of the letter is On Abortion, UH's School of Medicine does not speak for me. So it probably sold a lot of newspapers.
So what can you tell us about peers and their response? Did probably a mixed review, but did any pro-life faculty reach out to you discreetly and say, wow, thanks for doing that on our behalf?
Yeah, actually a lot did. A lot who were not pro-life came up to me and wondered about these rational arguments for the pro-life position. And they said to me, where did you come up with these? You know, as if this was the first time they ever heard that life could begin at conception, what the rational and scientific reasons were for that. And so I had colleagues who I know were pro-abortion advocates came up to me and questioning whether or not what they believed was true. And so that was wonderful.
Any sacrifices that you think, any repercussions from the academy, if you will, or the university, whether direct or indirect?
Those things you never really know, but based on timing, there things were somewhat interesting. You know, I had written the article in May, and in July, I was informed by the chair of our department, who was actually for me, but the people above him were saying that they were going to terminate my employment contract a year early. And that was a very sudden, unexpected
surprise.
Mm-hmm. Just a few months earlier, I was getting these notices from them about how they wanted to continue the relationship. And suddenly after that was a total 180 where they said they were going to terminate my contract. Mm. Of course, I never have any evidence of what was the actual reason. No one's ever said anything. I was told it was because of, I'm putting this in quotes, financial headwinds.
Wow. When we talked in Jakarta, you explained to me that this new chapter in your life of ministry, it actually has brought joy and opportunities, and you're going to be able to pursue those with gusto because of what's happened. So if the world closes the door on you, God, it said, opens a window of opportunity. Have you seen it that way or not exactly?
It's not been just a window. It's been a wide open sliding sidewall of openings. You know, besides the contract being terminated, I had some other issues. I had a crush injury to my hand. We had some financial problems because of that loss of employment. And really, I thought that was just a horrible situation. Why was God doing this? But over the next year, things worked out where all of a sudden I realized that God was giving me really the desire of my heart to be able to go on short-term missions, to be able to have time to be available for disaster relief missions, to be able to have time for going to ICMDA and teaching things. These were all things that were on my heart that I could never do. And I had prayed that I'd be able to do that. And I had no idea that God was going to close the door on my employment through this kind of circumstances to open the door to give me the things that I really wanted to do. So this year has been, this has been the start of an exciting year for me. I have mission trips planned to Papua New Guinea again, to, I'm going to Myanmar next week. I have a restricted country in November. We have Marshall Islands coming up, and just a host of things that are so exciting and wonderful that I'm just thanking God that he did that for me.
As I close with both of you, thanks for joining us today. Is there a scripture verse that just really either together or each one of you, a scripture that you've hung on to that God's given to you for your walk with him through healthcare and personally?
Really, you know, for me, this year has been, I wrote in a recent kind of a devotion. I used to think that Jeremiah 29:11 was kind of a trite verse where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And I always thought that people utilize that in trite ways. But after going through this year of things that just did not seem to work out in my favor, and I realized that God was at work, working all these things out to me, that's become my new old favorite verse.
Very good. Thank you. Lori?
There's so many. I have so many favorite verses, but I'm going to go back to, and I think you mentioned it, Revelation 7:9, which really was, I think that Indonesia summit was a vision of what we read in Revelation 7:9, and that the great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. The Passover Lamb.
Dr. Lori Tam and Dr. Andy Oishi, thank you for joining us today on CMDA Matters. And I hope that our friends are around the globe, we have a lot of listeners around the globe to this program. And in fact, our number two nation is my former nation of Kenya. A few friends back there like to listen to CMDA Matters. But a number of those who were in Indonesia say they listen on a regular basis to this program. So any greetings to our friends that we met that you'd like to pass along?
Oh, to all of them. Yes.
Yes. Tell them that we love them and we miss them, and we were so thankful to spend time with them.
Okay.
Yes.
Amen.
We look forward to seeing them on Jeju Island.
Amen. Doctors Andy Oishi and Lori Tam are living proof that bold obedience and unwavering faith in the Lord can lead to extraordinary blessings as well as kingdom impact. Their story is one of courage and calling and Christ-centered resilience. Whether teaching in Hawaii or serving in the Pacific Basin, they are bringing healing and hope in the name of Jesus Christ and equipping others to do the same, as you heard. Their story is a powerful reminder to me that even when we face unexpected challenges, God is at work in ways that we may not always see, opening doors and guiding us to new paths of service. Whether it's in the classroom, the hospital, or on the mission field, bold faith creates a lasting legacy for God's ultimate glory. If you found this conversation valuable today, please give CMDA Matters a follow on your socials, share the episode, and subscribe to the podcast for more discussions on faith integrated into healthcare. If you're listening to CMDA Matters on the day this episode releases, May 1st, we are actually kicking off the 2025 CMDA National Convention today. This weekend, we're especially reminded of the power of community and the beauty of coming together with over 1,000 people, Christian healthcare professionals and their spouses, to be renewed in purpose, sharpened in truth, and strengthened in faith and knowledge. If you're joining us in St. Charles, whether on the way or have arrived, welcome all of you. We're so glad you're here with us. And if you're tuning in from afar, don't forget that virtual access is still available. So you can be part of the main sessions from wherever you are. Just go to natcon.cmda.org and you can register and sign up even last minute. Or if you're listening on Friday or Saturday and would still like to join, just go to that website and you can register to attend virtually. We have a special host, Dr. Julie Rose, who will be your host for that virtual experience. We're grateful to Samaritan's Purse and Liberty University College of Osteopathic Medicine for helping make this gathering possible this year. We have an amazing lineup of speakers, and we're offering over 10 hours of continuing education credit and 50-plus breakout sessions. And we're also thrilled that for a repeat performance, the Liberty University a cappella group, Shine, will be leading us in worship in every plenary session. If you're in St. Charles, I'd like to ask you to stop by the CMDA Member Experience booth in the exhibit hall during the convention. We'd love to meet you in person, hear your story, and share what's happening at CMDA. Plus, we'd love to hear what topics that you'd like to see covered in future episodes of the podcast. Be sure to tune in next week on CMDA Matters as we welcome our newest Vice President, Dr. Brick Lance, CMDA's Vice President of Advocacy and Bioethics. With many years of experience in orthopedic surgery, ministry, and bioethics, Dr. Lance will discuss CMDA's advocacy ministry, as well as the importance of standing strong for biblical values in today's healthcare culture. From teaching at the University of Oregon in that great Northwestern state to serving as medical director at a local pregnancy center, Brick's insights on faith, ethics, and public witness, they're going to inspire you to be a faithful voice in your own community. Don't miss it. Bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare, that's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week that the Lord is always with you and that He is for you to do His good work. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.